Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Our God and our Father, we just want to give you all the praise and adoration this afternoon. We want to thank you for the privilege to be able to step away from our places of work and come into this oasis and lift up our voices and lift up our praises to you, because we know that you're the King of Kings. We know that you're the Lord of Lords. We know that you're the great I Am that I Am. We know that you're the Lily of the Valley, and we just want to thank you. We want to lift up our praises to you this afternoon. We want to glorify you, Lord. And we want to thank you, Lord, for that opportunity, Lord, to be able to give you all the praise, to be able to give you all the adoration, to be able to lift up our voices and praise you and thank you for everything that you've done in our lives, in the lives of our families, and in the lives of those that we love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. 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 Please sit down. Jeremy sends his apologies today. He's at a ceremony where they're installing the new sheriff in the city of London. I don't know the details, but that's all I know. So today, the topic Jeremy has asked me to speak about is God doesn't do easy answers. And when I read the passage, it was very, very difficult, actually, and I kind of struggled as to what to talk about. So I'll first go into the passage, we'll read it together, and then I'll try and see what I'm able to put together in terms of what I want us to take away from it. So we're going to be looking at Matthew 8, 28 to 34, which is on page 920 of the Church Bibles. And the heading is, Jesus Restores Two Demon-Possessed Men. When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance away from them, a large herd of pigs were feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." Jesus said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Our God and our Father, we just want to thank you as we come together to read, to learn from your word today. We ask you, Lord, to take control. Just come, Holy Spirit, just come right now and be with us as we study your word together. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 When I read this, I found it really, really odd. And I think what struck me the most was just before this, which is what we learned, what we read about last week. Jesus was with his disciples, and those were the people that were supposed to know him very well. They were like his nearest and his dearest, but they didn't know who he was. When the storm was happening, they were scared, they were afraid. They had very little faith. And even when Jesus calmed the storm, they looked at themselves and they were saying, you know, what kind of man is this? Who is this man that can calm the storms, you know? But when we look at today's passage, he's kind of with the worst, isn't it? He's with the devil, you know. He's with demon-possessed people, and they actually recognize him. So if we look at verse 29, it says, "What do you want with us, the Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before our appointed time?" So I found it a bit strange, isn't it, that the disciples didn't know who he was, and they were asking, what kind of a person is this? But straight away, the demons knew him. They knew he was the Son of God. They knew he had authority. They knew he could change things. And based on that, they kind of knew that their time was up, so to say. And they were actually asking him where to send them to, because I kind of felt that they didn't have an option. They knew that the time was up, and they would have to leave these two men they had been tormenting. And it was almost as if they were bargaining with him and saying, "Okay, we know the time is up, but, you know, whatever you do, just send us into those pigs." But what I didn't know is if they expected to be sent into the pigs and end up in the water and die. And that's why when you look at this, the topic is, you know, God doesn't do any easy answers. So the more I read about it, the more I had so many questions. You know, why did the pigs have to die? Why did they have to go to the bottom of the bank of the water? You know, why did the demons know that he could drive them out? How come the demons knew he had authority and they could plead and beg with him? But the week, you know, but just before this, when he was with the disciples, they didn't know who he was. And even when he calmed the storm, they didn't sort of accept that Jesus had so much authority. It was as if they were thinking, who is this person that can actually calm the storms, as opposed to recognizing the power he has? So the more I've looked at this, I just feel that where God wants me to land this afternoon is talking about restoration and talking about freedom. Because when we look at the heading, it says Jesus restored the two demon-possessed men. I don't want us to go too much into the demons and the pigs and what happens to them. You know, I want us to focus on restoration. I want us to focus on freedom. I want us to focus on the fact that Jesus actually came to set us free, you know, to give us abundant life. And that is really what I want to touch about this afternoon. Just talk about restoration, abundant life, and freedom. So the way I've looked at this is, when we look at this passage is also in Mark, actually. And I kind of preferred what happened in Mark, which wasn't recorded in Luke, in Matthew, which was Mark 15, when it said, when they came to Jesus, they saw that the man who had been possessed by the demons was sitting down there. He was dressed and he was in his right mind. So in short, we know that Jesus Christ came. He saved that man. He was dressed and he was restored, which is why today I just want us to look at the things that we think are holding us back. You know, whilst we may not be demon-possessed like those two men, I believe that there are things in each of our lives that are holding us back that have sort of become our demons, you know, and they're not allowing us to live that full and abundant life that Jesus Christ has set for us. You know, it could be anything. You know, I think we just need to sort of take a step back and think about it. What are those things? They could be very minor things like bad habit. Like for me, it's the Southern Rail. You know, it's become a big, big demon. You know, I can never get to work on time. Each time I think it's okay, there's yet another strike. You know, I get very frustrated. I think, am I ever going to get to work? Or I get to work, am I ever going to get home? You know, and I kind of realize that actually, you know, this strike thing and this whole Southern Rail thing is starting to rob me of my life, you know. I don't want to meet up with people after work. I'm thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't go to that, you know, socials they're doing in church, because if I go, I can't get back home. And, you know, it's just recognizing things. Is it that person at work that every time you wake up in the morning, you think, oh my goodness, you know, I have to go and deal with that man or that woman again, you know. I'd rather not work in this place. But maybe that is where God wants you to be in terms of your job. But maybe what you need to do is learn that that person is the thing that's standing in your way. And just ask for God to give you the grace and the revelation to be able to deal with that situation you're facing at that point in time. And I just think there's just so many things. It might be a relationship. You know, have you come out of a relationship and you're saddened by it and you can't move on, and you're letting something rob you of the next phase of your life? You're letting that breakup of that relationship steal away from you the goodness of your life. Are you keeping yourself away from people because of the problems you have? Because when we look at these men, they were so terrible, weren't they, that no one wanted to go near them. And I think if we're not careful as well, when we become too engrossed in the problems we have or the situations we find ourselves in, we become very different people. We're not fun to be around because we're so depressed. You know, nothing is right. You know, people kind of keep away from us and we keep isolating ourselves and robbing ourselves of everything God has for us. So I think today, really, what I want us to do is identify these problems and just cry out to God. I mean, if demons can beg God, you know, we know who we are. We're the children of God, and we know that we have a better position where things are concerned compared to demons. We're closer to him. We're the children of God. We know that our names have been inscribed on the palm of his hands. We know that Jesus Christ said that he has come to give us life, an abundant life. So if we know all that, why are we letting those things that are very, very minor, those things that are not significant, those things that are significant, those things that are irritating, why are we allowing them to get in the way of the abundant life that Jesus Christ has for us. If the demons can beg Jesus, then we know that we don't even have to beg. Because in some parts of the Bible, it tells us that even before we have finished praying, God has answered our prayers. So that is what I want us to take away. Let us just cry out to God with these things. Let us recognize them. And don't let them rob us of the life that Jesus Christ has given us, you know. And another thing I realize is that these demons, they actually knew that Jesus Christ had authority. They knew he had authority. But when we looked at the disciples before that, they were afraid. They were afraid. They didn't know who he was. And I just want us to know that whatever mountains it is we have, just as that song that Chris was playing, is that no mountain is too high. You know, whatever mountains we're facing, Jesus Christ has the authority. He can speak to those mountains. And I think there's another part of the Bible, isn't it, that says that when he talks to the mountain, the mountains will be removed. And I think that is what we have to realize, that Jesus Christ has the authority and he's giving us that authority. And we just have to cry out to him. We just have to call out to him. Those things that are difficult, those things that are impossible, those things that we think that can never happen, he's able to do them, and he's even able to do them a lot better than we think, you know, he can. I'll just share a quick testimony with you. This goes back to after the financial crisis in 2009. That was when my son finished primary school and he was going to secondary school, and he was doing all his entrance exams and he passed his exams, and then I lost my job. So in short, you know, he kind of knew the school he wanted to go to, but without a job, I couldn't actually get him to that school. So I spent 3 months at home on garden leave, and those 3 months I just spent just praying to God, asking God to show me what to do. You know, this was a very big decision. This was like 7 years ahead of us, you know, 5 years in, you know, and 2 years A-levels. What was I going to do? Should I give up at that point in time? Should I trust God? Should I have faith? If I have faith, am I being silly? We're talking about a financial thing here. What should I do? You know, and there was all that dilemma. And then I got a verse in the Bible that said that, in the Psalms, that said, once I was young and then I was old, I've never heard the righteous beg for bread or the children go hungry. And I kind of held on to that, you know, but I still didn't have that much faith. I thought, well, all I have to do now is pay £150, drop off the letter to say we've accepted the place. This is like March, you know, school doesn't start till September. If things have really gone pear-shaped in September, then we just simply wouldn't take up the place, and I've only lost £150, you know. And to God be the glory, I got another job, and this summer he got his A-level results, and he's in university. And I just knew that all that, it was just by the grace of God. And the way it works, it's never straight, you know, because obviously, as you that most of you that have children know, you know, the school fees goes up every year, not necessarily in line with inflation, and not always necessarily in line with your salary. So there's always that, oops, you know, what is happening? Oops, what is happening? But God was always faithful. You know, at every point in time, he was always there. And, you know, at the end of this year, it was just all glorifying God and thanking him. So what am I trying to draw here? That we have to have faith, you know. Sometimes we just have to take a step at a time and know that he's gone before us, he's there with us, and he would never fail us. And we just have to just keep on at it. It's not something that always ends like that, but it's something that we have to keep on at and know that he's got that authority. And the last thing is just talking about, you know, setting us free from that oppression. Because I think we're our own worst enemies. You know, for me, I know that I am the demon, you know, because I believe that if I have more faith, if I prayed a lot more, if I actually believed what I was reading in the Bible, if I live by what I believe in the Bible, I would have a much freer life. All I need to do is the phone should ring or something happens, and I automatically in my mind think, oh, something has gone wrong. You know, I started a new job last year and I kept asking my boss, is everything okay? You know, are you going to, is everything going to be okay during my probation? And he keeps saying, what's wrong with you, Adekemi? You know, what is your problem? But I think sometimes I'm actually so scared. I keep thinking, you know, the worst of every situation instead of you know, standing on the word of God and knowing that things are going to be fine. You know, I thank God for friends. You know, I thank God for the people here that I pray with every single Friday. That, you know, when I have those doubts and when I have those fears and I have those worries, you know, they're there to help me, to just help me know that, you know, that I just need to go back to the basic, go back to the word of God, stand on the word of God and stand on his promises. So where do I want to finish today? I just want to let us, you know, just to talk to every one of us here, me included, to know that, you know, we've been set free, you know, we've been restored, that we shouldn't let the things that have happened in the past that have brought disappointment prevent us from going forward to that place that God wants to take us to. There's so many disappointments. Even when we cross one bridge, it doesn't mean that there still wouldn't be another problem. But I think the fact that we've been set free in the past should help us know that God is there and that he can do it again. And he's going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And really, that's where I want to leave everything today. For us to just thank God and look to him and just know that he's got the authority. And for us to know that we just have to cry out and beg him and reach out to him every time we're worried, every time we're stressed, every time.